So we're going to open our scriptures this morning to Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through to verse 7. Romans chapter 15, if you're looking in the blue pew Bibles, it's on page 805. If you've brought your own Bible, hallelujah for that too. If you are looking at it on electronic devices, you'll probably find it first. 805. Romans chapter 15, and these are the words of Paul. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word this morning. Just one other announcement before I bring the message this morning, and that is that we had the missionary morning tea on Thursday. And I wanted to just say on behalf of Debbie, thank you to all those who came and attended, but also those that came and served in that space. On the day, we were able to raise $750 in one morning, which was just a really remarkable effort. We had the ladies, we had the manager from Brisbane Recovery Services, our alcohol and drug rehabilitation service in Moonia, in Spring Hill in the city. They came out and shared with us their story. It was raw, it was real, and I got thoroughly blessed. You know when you turn up at things and you're just not expecting to be blessed, but it happens and it sort of hits you right between the eyes? Has that ever happened to anyone else? Well, that was my experience on Thursday. Probably being a bit, what would you call it, vulnerable there, not expecting to be blessed. I should be trying to be expected to be blessed in every situation, but the reality is it was not on my radar. I was pretty tired and was in survival mode. And the Lord blessed my socks off on Thursday, just hearing their stories and realizing that things were okay. And hearing that is just really helpful. Let's pray together before we open God's word. Loving God, we say thank you for all that you give to us, Lord, as we spend time in worship this morning. And as we open your word, we would ask that you would enlighten it to us, that the words that are spoken this morning, God, that they're words from you, and they are not necessarily my words. My prayer this morning as your servant, God, is to there be nothing of me and all of you as we speak. I offer myself as a vessel for you to use. Pray these things in your name. Amen. Well, we're into week three of a four-week series on prayer, on praying. This four-week series, the first week, who remembers? This is not a real homework lesson, but anyone remember what we looked at the first week? The praying. Are you checking your notes, Kylie? Oh, I'm just checking, because that'd be cheating. The first week we looked at praying gives us power. And last week we looked at having an active faith that others can see us, others can see God in us. These are prayers that Paul prayed for the church, and he prayed four of these prayers, and he used a phrase in each of these prayers that I've used as the link between all 4 weeks of our series, and that's the term "so that." I nearly called the series "so what," but didn't work. So that, and there's a reason why he prays these prayers for the followers. He prays for the church in Rome so that, what does it say? With one heart and mouth you may glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. These prayers are similar to prayers that Jesus prayed. Paul prayed, Jesus prayed, I want to pray. This morning, I want to pray for unity. Unity in the body of Christ. Unity within our church family. I don't think it's... There have been interesting moments this week where I have felt that unity hasn't been something that I could celebrate. There have been other instances where I've thought, I'm preaching on unity this weekend. Why am I seeing so much? It's like when you say, God, give me patience, right? He doesn't give it to you like a can off the shelf. He gives you opportunities to practice patience. So there was opportunities for me this week to develop unity. I failed sometimes, and I made it in others, I hope. But I wonder what we think about unity. Have we ever been involved at Sunday school picnics or at schools where we've done tug of war? Right? And sometimes there's always, it was always me, right? For whatever reason, I'm not sure, but I was always the anchor. Whereas you can be the anchor. I think it was the schoolyard way of saying, you're fat, so you can go at the back, right? And so you'd wrap that rope around yourself and you'd be tugging in two different directions and there was this real tussle that went on. And if there was more people on one side, then it would go in that direction much easier than if it was an even matched thing. There have been times when I've seen tug of wars last for ages and it became a fatigue thing because people were just fighting and fighting, fighting to eventually win. Why is it that sometimes within the church, both within this community of faith and more broadly within the church universal, it feels like a tug of war? That we seem to be tugging in all different directions. We seem to be worried about our little important bit rather than what Paul talks about there, that we are to be bringing glory to God. It was interesting that this happens more than it doesn't in this building, and I was told about it when I first got here, and I kind of thought, yeah, we'll wait and see. It honestly does. All the sharing that goes on in church, you're like, all right, who's been reading my notes? Who's been reading my notes? Neil shared this morning about just the words of our mouth and you know, having, when people have interactions with him, do they see the things that he stands for? Is he bringing glory and honor to God in all that he does? Well, I have to ask the same question about interactions that I have. There's a prayer that goes something like this. Dear God, I haven't gossiped yet and I haven't thought negatively of anybody and I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't yelled at my kids yet and my husband has not heard anything but loving words from my lips at this point in time, but my feet are about to hit the floor. So I'm going to need your help. Maybe that's your story, that's certainly mine at times. I can be the perfect Jesus follower whilst laying in my bed. As soon as my feet hit the floor, the wheels fall off sometimes, right? And it's like, oh, I just need to go back. I wonder sometimes whether we are fighting against the same enemy or different enemy. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells his disciples that he clearly names the job description of the enemy. The person on the other end of that tug of war rope. The enemy comes to steal, to kill and to destroy. But on this side of the rope, Jesus says, I've come to bring life What does it say? Life in abundance. So if we have the same enemy, we need to be doing all that we can to not just steal, not to play into the hands of those of the one who wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy, but fight against that by bringing hope and life and grace and mercy. In 1 Corinthians, it tells us that we all are part of the body. We're not all arms. A number of weeks ago, Debbie was away and I went ice skating with Logan. This could end badly, this story. And it did. I got overly confident, as is my standard thing. I ended up on my face, Superman diving. I hit the end of this one middle finger. You wouldn't believe how much you use it. It's reminded me of that. That was 4 months ago. It still hurts from time to time. But it's remarkable how much this small, you could say insignificant, part of my body is part of my everyday. I need it. I go to grab something, and you change hands. I think sometimes within the church we think, oh, I've only got a small part to play. In fact, I don't have much to give. So what I have to give doesn't matter. You could say that about the finger on my hand. It's not that big. It doesn't matter that much. It matters, right? It matters. A number of weeks ago, I shared with the kids in devotional thought where I suggested that we all have to bring our parts of the cake to the table. You wouldn't want to eat the cake if it was everyone bringing flour, right? Or everybody bringing eggs. No one wants to eat that. If you're looking for a cake and you get eggs, that's no good. If everyone brings milk, that's no good. If it brings sugar, well, that's pretty good. But not all at once. Just a little bit. Pace yourself, Wes. We need everybody's contribution to work together so that people can experience that verse from Scripture that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had. What is he talking about there? The same attitude. What about the Samaritans? He talked about them, didn't he? You know, the ones that we don't want to hang around? We can't be around them. Actually, they're uncomfortable to be around. They actually might make me unclean. Jesus says, no. Go out into all the world and, what does he say? Make disciples of all nations. Go to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Samaria? Really? The people that we're not supposed to hang around, they're the ones you want me to talk to? Have the same attitude towards them. See the person that God has created them to be rather than who we see through our human eyes. In John chapter 17, it says this, I pray also, this is the words of Jesus, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, have loved them even as you have loved me. We have a common enemy. And I think we forget that sometimes and we turn and try to find the enemy within the broader family of God. We're right, they're wrong. It becomes adversarial, even between denominations. well, if they did it the way that we did it, then that would make it right. It's actually not true at all. We desperately need each other. Just as our bodies have many parts in Romans chapter 12, and each part has a special function, it is the same with Christ's body. We have many parts, but one body. We all belong. You see, I think for many within our communities, they struggle to experience what it means to live in a community because it's missing unity. You cannot have community without unity. It's impossible to spell without unity. There are many within our society that they think, well, if that's what it means to follow Jesus, then I'm not sure that I'm interested. We shared last week about being in the water analogy that I used last week. How many people have we gone this week and allowed to get wet by the living water of Jesus? Or maybe we're so dry and parched that they could brush past us and not even know that there was water there once. Unity is not uniformity. I'm not this kind of guy that likes everything to be just the same. The way that I'm wired is that I look for a million possibilities. 999,999 of them are usually rubbish. But I try to find every single one of the options on the table before I make a decision. I think there's a real strength in our diversity. We all bring something to the table that is unique. And our fellowship is the poorer when people don't bring their offering of themselves to the table. There are some people that will actively go out of their way to speak ill of other faith communities. The culture here is that we won't do that. We won't do that. Because we need them and they need us. You see, I hear so much about what's happening overseas with Christians, and I think to myself, wow, we're so blessed here. Do we go through life and actually take it for granted? Do we take it for granted? Don and Kate have been away for 6 or 7 weeks. They shared this morning that in the midst of the Christian fellowship, it was easy. It could have been easy to take that for granted. Because when it was taken away, they noticed the difference, right? Romans chapter 15, the very last verse, accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Accepting people doesn't mean that we agree with everything that they say. But we see them for who God has created them to be. If we believe the words that people are created in the image of God and that, like the psalmist says, that they're knitted together in our mother's womb, then how can we do anything other? How can we do anything other than to see them as God's creation? Some people could say that you need to look a little bit harder at some to find it. What does it matter if you've got to look a little bit harder? I think if we all work together, we will be able to live out the promise in John chapter 13, where Jesus says, "These words, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this you will know that they will know, everyone will know, sorry, that you're my disciples because of your love for one another." So how do people know? How do people know that you're a Jesus follower? Because of the way you judge them. Because of the way that you speak ill of them. Because of the way that you put them down. Because of the way that it's none of those things at all. It is simply how you love them. Now, is loving everybody easy? If you find it easy, please help me after church. Because I have not found it easy ever to love everybody like Jesus loves me. You know the love that he talks about, as wide as the ocean and as deep as the sea? I don't have that. Sometimes it's barely a water droplet out the top of a water bottle. I'm not standing up here saying Wes has got it all together and you have to lift your standards to where I'm at because you'll be pretty low. There are people in this room who love extravagantly better than I do. I'm learning too. But if we want to move together as a church community and say this is our standard, we will love even when it hurts. I would love for people to be gossiping about our church within community. What? We don't like gossip? Yeah, I'd love to hear them gossiping about, they're Jesus people and they love us even when we don't deserve to be loved. I hear stories like that. I want to hear more of them. I'm sure you want to hear them too. The reality is we need each other. Because the world will see God's love. And we can do infinitely more together. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions were their own, but they shared everything that they had. And God's grace was so powerful, and this is Acts chapter 4, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that they were no needy persons among them. Now, we're not just talking about needing a meal or needing a bed, but some people need more love. Some people need more hope. Some people actually look out on the world around them and they need more peace. You see, I think, friends, the reality is people are sick and tired of just hearing about the love of Jesus. They want to see it. They want to feel it. We can talk about it every Sunday and go away saying, yep, we should do something about that. But Monday through Saturday, we've got to be allowing our interactions with others for them to see the love of Jesus. If we work together as a church universal and just for 1 week focused on unity, I reckon on Monday, starvation would be eliminated. Tuesday, every person would have drinking water. Wednesday, poverty would be eradicated altogether. Thursday, everyone with a medical need would have attention. Friday, all orphans will be under care. Saturday, everyone who's lived will know about Jesus. And on Sunday, we'd pause to worship him. If the church around the world stopped for 1 week, and just focused on every action that they took was to bring glory and honor to God, what a different world we would live. So this morning, as we share together these words, and we will sing a song in just a few moments. It says, "Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me?" pretty amazing love. And that's the love that we need to be sharing with those around us. Sometimes it's in not in the sermons that we preach, but it's rather in the small words that we say when we are at the supermarket or wherever we might be. Has anyone ever been on a flight and they have to go down the stairs and then up the back stairs of the airplane? Have you ever noticed that there's one guy that stands out in the middle of nowhere? Like as a bit of a guide to keep you on the path? Ever noticed that? I always make sure, personally, that I take my sunglasses off and I look him right in the eye and I say, thanks for all you're doing. How many people a day would he see? Right? Go past and not notice him. I think for us as a church, we need to be doing all that we can to make sure that people are noticed, people are needed, and people are known. And we're going to be talking about that into the new year. You've heard about it early, but there's a seed plant for the new year's sermon series. That we're needed, known, and noticed. And we look forward to all that's going to happen. But maybe you've spent time in your life tugging on the rope in a different direction to the way that God has asked us to go. Maybe, in fact, there's something that you think is important that is, and it's going against. It's distracting you from our common enemy who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have those distractions. I'm not standing up here with none. I have plenty. But let's pray together so that in unity we can make an impact on the lives of those around us within this community and more broadly. We want to see Jesus lifted high. Thanks, Neil.